Hey, can we clap it up for Thule and our kids' ministry? Just doing an awesome job discipling kids and coming along parents to help equip you all to do so. If you are a mom, can you stand up if you are, have fostered a child or are planning on doing so? If you're a mom or if you fostered a child, can you stand up? Yep, stand up. I know. Moms are great about doing an amazing job and not being noticed for it, so I'm putting you on the spot. Love you all, are grateful to serve along with you. It is a great joy to lead our kids to the Lord together. Yeah, really grateful for you this morning, especially in this rhythm that we have to celebrate moms. We are in the book of Acts, and what is going on in Acts as we started the series, we saw that Jesus was continuing to do a mighty work in and through his church and in and through his spirit after he ascended. That it's just this massive movement and moment for so much discipleship, and thousands are coming to Christ, and churches are being planted, and there's these kind of huge names arising who are taking the lead. You got Peter, right, and he's just leading this huge movement of church planting and preaching to thousands, and so many are coming to Christ. You got Paul, right? You've got Timothy, you've got Silas, you've got Barnabas, you've got Priscilla and Aquila, and Priscilla's coming in and teaching doctrine to Apollos, and then you've got Lydia, and she comes to Christ, and she's leading this house church now in Philippi, and you got kind of all these massive things occurring, right, and this movement of God taking place. And then you read this verse in chapter 16, verse 1, in the middle of it all. In chapter 16, verse 1, Luke writes, Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there who was named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. In the middle, in the midst of this massive movement of the gospel, you've got this a quiet mention of this mom, Eunice, who discipled this boy who's grown into a man, Timothy, in the gospel. And it's the quiet but mighty work of God through the discipleship of a mom. In her son's life, Timothy. Notice the context. You've got Eunice, who is a Jewish woman and is a believer, but, and in contrast to her, both in culture and in faith, his father was a Greek. So you've got this marriage of this woman, Eunice, who's a believer, a follower of Christ, who's raising up this disciple, Timothy, but her husband's not a believer. It's less than ideal, right? Like, it's a tough situation. It's like being a single mom of sorts, but in this case, there's a blend of faith. It's a hard circumstance, a tough circumstance going on. I don't have my clicker. And in the middle of this tough circumstance, you have the discipleship of a mom. She raises up a disciple of Jesus. But also, Timothy is her disciple, as she is discipling him in the faith. See, a mom says and lives in a way that her faith would be passed down to her son or daughter. It's a quiet movement so often, but it's a mighty one. And often will lead to being a part of this massive movement of the gospel like it does in Timothy's life. But it's a tough, it's a not perfect circumstance. No matter the circumstance, a mom steps in and says, I will live that my son or daughter will come to know the Savior I know and love. Let's back up a little bit and hear some of Eunice's story, because it's an amazing one, as she disciples her son, Timothy. After I share of her story, Courtney's going to come up and share a bit of what's that look like in real time as a mom in all these different seasons in your own life and in the lives of your kids. So here is Eunice's story, the backstory. If you want, you can flip with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5.
2 Timothy 1, verse 5 says it this way. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Now, here's the context of this passage. Paul is writing to Timothy. This is Paul's last letter. He's on his way out, and he is handing off his ministry, in a sense, to Timothy, this now monster of the faith, this man. And in the middle of it all, he says, man, you can do it. You know why? You've got the sincere faith of your mom. You've got your mom's faith that was first in her and is now in you. Listen to how Paul describes what is going on with that faith. I'm reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith, and it's a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, implied, right? Second in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure third dwells in you as well. It's a sincere faith, a real faith, an authentic faith. You know, this will happen. Well, very frequently in our house, a need for an apology. So Leo will punch his sister, or his sister will throw food at the table, or something will occur, and I'll say to Leo, hey, you need to apologize to Brooke for what you just did. And he'll go over, I'm sorry, and he'll walk away. And I'll say, that was not a sincere apology. That is not authentic, felt deep down. That is not a true apology. You don't mean that. And here, Paul is saying, Timothy, your faith was sincere and true and authentic. It started in your grandma and went to your mother, and now it has come to you. It is a true, authentic faith. It dwelt in her, and now it dwells in you. When you saw it in her, it was deep. It was personal. It kept going through hard times. It dwelled in her deeply. Everywhere she went, her faith went. Into those tough circumstances, that hard marriage, that terrible time you lost your job, there was her faith. You saw it. It was deep, and it dwelled. See, what is of primary, of first importance, is that when you and I, when we're raising kids, that faith first dwells in us. It is deep and authentic and true in our own lives first, and is lived before and with our kids. Mom, I bet you're watching out there on the eastern shore of Maryland. I remember seeing that authentic, sincere faith dwelling in you. I remember that turquoise, big old fat Bible you had. I thought it looked so goofy, but the pages were wrinkled. They were highlighted everywhere. You had those tabs on the side. And you had a deep faith. And I remember how that faith, man, took root and hold even when things were real tough with you and Dad, or when a job was lost. I remember some highs and lows, but always your faith was steady. It dwelled in you. Way to go. Man, thank you, Mom. So faith that first dwells in us is handed down to our kids. It's a communal faith, a faith that Lois and Eunice experienced together, and you can imagine they linked arms as they raised their son and grandson, Timothy, together. But the story goes on in this last letter that Paul writes to Timothy. It goes again to Eunice's faith as a reminder for Timothy, as he will now live this life as a pastor and an elder, discipling and leading in the church and serving and dying and giving his life away that the church might flourish. He says, some are going to give up, some are going to go this way or that way. But in chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, Paul says to Timothy, again encouraging him, but as for you, continue in what you learned, what you firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul says to Timothy, look, times are going to get super hard as you lead and serve within this church, but I want you to remember, and continue in the trajectory, right? The Psalms will talk about pulling back the bowstring and letting our children go as arrows. Keep going in that trajectory in which you've been released. Or Proverbs will talk about train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he will not depart from it. Let him loose on that trajectory. And here Paul says to Timothy, remember and continue in the path you were trained in, where you know the sacred scriptures, you've been acquainted with them, you know them deeply. It's not just head knowledge, but it's now heart knowledge for you. You've grasped and clung to what is true. The sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You know what these writings teach, you know their story, but you also know their author, Timothy. Why? I love it. Because from childhood, you are acquainted with them. These little ones, as they're up here from childhood, your mom or your dad or someone in the church was singing over the good news of the gospel over you. You are being raised up to know from childhood how much you're loved by God our Father who sent his Son, how you're made in his image, how valuable you are, how loved you are. You know the story that leads to salvation, that he gave his Son for you. That even if you went off the path and you strayed from where you were supposed to go, you would know that he loves you so much you can return to him and be cleansed by him and empowered to live according to his ways. How do you know it? Because from childhood, you were raised to know him. Well, as Courtney comes up here, she's going to share just some golden nuggets from our family of the ups and downs in the different seasons of life. And you can clap her up as she comes up. We've had a whole different...
Love you.
We've had every kind of thing you could do as a family. Maybe because of the six kids... maybe because of their different needs, some having needs that others don't. Maybe because sometimes we are in public school and private school and homeschool, kind of done it all. We're not sharing this piece of the talk to say, hey, do it this way, or here's a new law. But we're saying, man, here's what it might look like in your own life, in all the mess and all the different seasons, to find a nugget here or there, to follow the Lord in a new way that your kids might come to grow up and know and love their Savior. So let's clap it up for her one more time. Thank you so much for sharing, hon.
Well, thanks for having me. It is a joy to be here. Happy Mother's Day. It was such a joy to see all those families up there. I had the privilege of leading a new mom's group this spring, and so all of them were up there, and it was just really great to see them dedicate their child back to the Lord. So as I'm seeing them all up there, I realized I am in a different phase of life now. I think I thought I was going to have toddlers forever, but I truly am in the back half of parenting. We just picked our 19-year-old up from college on Thursday. So it is. It's crazy. Our baby is 10 years old, and so I am. I'm an old mom. And so I just come today, like Matt said, I am not trying to say you got to raise your kids this way, just to offer some encouragement and some truths. Acts 16 has always really encouraged me as a mom to think of Timothy, this strong giant of the faith, knowing that he was profoundly and deeply impacted by Eunice, his mom. So just some ideas that stand out over these three principles that Matt has unpacked for us today. The idea of having a sincere faith. I need to start off by saying I also have had great role models, and my mom is here, so you have to clap for her. I'm so thankful you're here today, Mom, but I do. I don't know if I have a memory without her Bible open on the dining room table with a highlighter and pen nearby. She was always studying God's Word, but I like to say that she wasn't just studying it to learn more knowledge. But she was studying it so she could share Jesus with others. She didn't want to just know Jesus, but she wanted to live like Jesus. And so I got to see that day in and day out. And I had many other role models as a young adult. I got to be in the kitchens of some young moms and family rooms and at bedtimes, just alongside other moms in my life, getting to see what that looks like, what their sincere faith. That someone told me once, you can't pass on what you don't possess yourself. And yeah, there's nothing more that I want for my children but for them to know and serve and know the Lord. But I can't pass that on if I don't have that myself. And so what does it look like for me to cultivate my own faith and walk with Jesus? Matt and I kind of have this tagline that we want to live our faith in front of and with our kids, that I want to live my faith in front of my kids and with my kids. So there's two things. I think that takes a plan. You can't, it's not just going to happen. It takes a plan. You have to come up with a time where you're going to sit with Jesus. And I'm really big on this. It has to be simple. So when my kids were small, sometimes I'm a morning person, so it would work for me to get up early before they got up to spend some time with Jesus. But we all know kids have a way of getting up earlier than you want them to, and so sometimes that didn't work. So I remember a season of my life saying I would tithe to the Lord the first 30 minutes of nap time, and I would give that to the Lord before I would get to all the list of things I needed to do. But it takes a plan. And I'd say you have to know your stage, know your season, know your kids, and look at a season at a time. But what's that going to look like? I know a lot of times just having the audio Bible on when I'm driving somewhere, when I'm vacuuming the family room, that was sometimes all I could have. But we want to have and develop a sincere walk with the Lord. But the second piece of that, not only does it take a plan, but we have to practice it also. I think what hit me about 2 Timothy this time around was that this sincere faith dwelt. It dwelt in Eunice and Lois first, before Timothy. And that idea of dwelt isn't just that they know something, but they're influenced by it. That's what that word means. And so I was reminded of James 1:22. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says." And so I would encourage you, I was encouraged early on in my faith that not just to sit with the Lord, to learn about what the gospel is and what he's teaching me, but to take something with me. So I would often end my time with the Lord with a 3x5 card and just write a phrase or a principle or some kind of application and put it by the kitchen sink when I'm doing dishes, because we all know we do a lot of dishes. Anyway, but just something that I would see often. And I want to tell you guys, I remember once studying 1 Thessalonians with a group of women here in the church years ago, and so I put, encourage one another and build each other up, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and it's by the sink. And I think it was during the pandemic, and we're setting up Zoom cameras, and people are trying to log on, and this is by the kitchen sink, and I remember one of my kids, I think it might have been Cammy, and she's like, "Mom, why are you yelling at us all the time?" And I was like, oh, man, so convicting, right? Like, here is my little phrase. I'm supposed to be building my kids up. That's what I'm learning from the Lord. And yet I am not doing it. And so I think in that moment, guys, I think the idea of practicing doing what the word means, that we're going to mess it up. And so in that moment, I did. I needed to confess and repent and say I'm sorry and ask for forgiveness and pray and just try again. Because I think what we know is anything that's worth doing is worth doing poorly. I was told that too, because guess what? We're going to start poorly, but we're going to get better at it. So it's worth doing. Make time, spend time with Jesus, but then we want to practice it also. We want to be people that live it out. And then the last thing, Matt touched on this, but it takes community. I just love that Eunice isn't in there by herself. She has Lois with her. Grandma is there to come alongside. And I have had so many Loises. I have my mom. I have my older sister. I've had incredible mentors in my life. But if that's not your story, if that's not your background, guys, look around this room. There are lots of moms here. And I would say, even if you're not a mom, you can be a Lois to a mom in this room. We all need encouragement. We all need prayer. Come alongside somebody. You have to grow in your faith together. My 3 D's has been incredibly important in my life. To grow as a woman of God, that we can't do it alone. We need each other. So think about it. Who is your Lois? Can you be a Lois for somebody else? Okay, and then the next idea that comes out of this is teaching the scriptures, right? This Bible knowledge. And again, I've had great role models. My mom, I can remember times her praying over us before we went to school. I've shared this before, but she would often say, "Shine for Jesus today." I remember her reading short little Devo books with us. We would use holidays, vacation. She would read missionary books to us out loud. And again, I'm going to say this takes a plan, but let's keep it really simple. because then it's sustainable. Okay, guys, I'm not really creative. I keep it simple. I think when the kids were small, I tried to keep a toddler rhyming Bible by the bed so we could get up and read the Bible before bed. So I do. I think I have tried over the years to capitalize on bedtime, mealtime, and car time, right? I think bedtime is a great time to read Bible stories. And what's really cool is why you're doing this, why you're reading the scriptures to your kids, the Jesus Storybook Bible, a student study Bible, whatever it is, be praying. Because I will never forget, Jake, at about 4 years old, I'm reading a little toddler Bible to him about the prodigal son, and all of a sudden I look up, and he has tears in his eyes. And I'm like, what's going on, buddy? And he was like, why would the boy want to go away from his dad who loves him? Like, he, like, got it more than I did. And I was like, you're right. Like, just the love of the Father. So just press in. Don't miss the moments. Just read the Word of God to your kids. Meal times are huge. Car time has been great for worship and music. Adventures and Odyssey, it's an old podcast thing. We love it. We listen to a lot of those. And then, again, not just a plan, but you got to practice it. So live it out together. Make a meal for someone in the church when they have a baby, but do it together. As the kids have gotten older, going on mission trips together have been huge. Applying scripture, we've tried to teach all of our kids how to study the word on their own as they, you know, get into middle school. And then again, this takes community. You can't do this alone. Eunice didn't just teach Timothy on her own. Lois was there. And so I am so thankful for this church, for this youth group. There are a lot of women in this room that we've called on to help disciple our women. Veronica, Chelsea, Sarah Moore. So thankful for so many of you who have come alongside. We have a gal in our neighborhood, Lucy, who's leading a Bible study on Thursday morning for teenage girls at our school with our girls. And boys, also Brandon, Isaac, have discipled Jake. We're so thankful that we want to teach the scriptures, but be praying for God to raise up other people that would come along and teach them the scriptures also. Okay, so we've talked about how it's important that we have a sincere faith, that we would teach that to our kids. And Eunice and Lois did this, but they did this in even less than ideal circumstances, that they were faithful in tough circumstances. Eunice had an unbelieving husband, and we know that he probably wasn't supportive. We're not sure exactly what all that meant. And as I've been in this current season as a mom, now that I'm on the back half, I've been a little bit more reflective than usual. I think because I've been teaching this grace and grit class for young moms and hearing all that moms share, all that they do in a given day. I asked them one time at one of our meetings, you have to think about all that you do in a given day as a young mom. Think about all that you think, all that you have to do. And so they made, I mean, it was so many things that we came up with. And I realized being a mom is hard, exhausting work. It is physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually demanding. And Eunice lived this vibrant, authentic faith and taught it to her son, even in the midst of struggle and hardship. And that's encouraging for me today. Because I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say, I'm guessing there's not a mom in the room that feels like she's crushing it. We usually feel like we're drowning every day. And I got a text from a friend that was in the Grace and Grit group, and she texted me a picture of her Monday morning as she's getting out of the house to go to work and take her kids out. And she said, Courtney, I had no idea being a mom required so many bags, is what she said. And I laughed, and I thought that was true. I think a lot of times we think of motherhood as we wear a lot of hats, right? I'm sure you've heard that analogy. But I think a better description is being a mom, we just wear a lot of bags. So I brought some bags because my life has been filled with a lot of bags. So it started off with a diaper bag, okay? I might have had two because we had four really close together. But you had a diaper bag, right? You had a change of clothes and diapers and bottles and wipes and all the things you need. And then as they get, and we always had to, like, pack lunch for the day because I might not leave the house if I didn't get out during lunch. So I always packed lunch for the day. So you had lunch for yourself and your kids. Then they get a little older, and then they start school. So then you have the backpack as you walk to school. There's, like, a lot of bags. Then they start sports. So you got the sports bag, all the stuff they're doing. And then recently, I think a lot of you know, is I actually went back to work as a nurse, so I actually brought my nurse bag. So Now you got your work bag. I think I have a few more, but I can't fit any more. But you get the idea. Moms, we're doing a lot, right? You just are doing a lot. But what I want to say is, even though you're fit, there might be external bags that you're carrying this way, I think Eunice's story reminds us that there's more than just these bags that we carry, right? There's some hard bags that some of us are carrying. We know Eunice carried the bag of having an unbelieving husband. You might be experiencing some tension or conflict in your extended family, maybe your in-laws. I've talked to some of you, and you just feel like your kids are too little, and you're not getting any sleep. That's hard. Some of you feel like your kids are now are too old, and you miss the opportunity, and they just don't want to listen. Some of you are single parents. Some of you are just feeling like work is so demanding, and there's not enough time to do it all. My journey, a lot of you know, has included a couple kids with significant learning disabilities, neurodivergence, special needs, therapy, IEP meetings, doctor's appointments, and lots of testing. And so this example preserved for us, for me, reminds me that life wasn't ideal for the first century mom, and it's not ideal for us either. But Eunice first dwelt with Jesus. She learned what that looked like to abide in him, and she taught the scriptures to her son. And that's inspiring and motivating for me that I can do that even when life is hard. But there's one confession I need to make today. For a long time, I really have hated Mother's Day. Am I allowed to say that? I don't know that. I actually haven't really enjoyed Mother's Day. And I think the reason is because I thought Mother's Day were for mothers like Eunice, right? Eunice deserves Mother's Day. Look what she produced. She produced Timothy, like this giant of the faith, right? This pastor and missionary. He was well-educated and independent. And I often felt like Mother's Day was a performance review, that my identity and worth came from my children's success and good behavior. And so unknowingly, as I'm carrying all these bags, what I had done was pick up this bag. This bag of mom guilt and mom shame. And this bag I carried for too long. We're thinking, I'm not doing enough. If only I would read more or listen more or spend more time with them or find the right therapist that my kids would turn out okay. And it was overwhelming, full of anxiety, always feeling like I'm never doing it right. This crushing weight of comparison, like I would look around and see what other kids are doing, what other moms are doing. But I want you to know, if that is you today, there is healing and freedom. That God reminded me of a story in the Old Testament, the story of Naomi, right? We see Eunice's story today, but Naomi, we know Naomi, right? The story of Naomi, the book of Ruth, she had two, we know she loved God, followed God, but she had two sons. And I'm sure she taught them the truths of God. But they rejected that and went off and married Moabite women. And so I'm sure Naomi a lot of days thought she just messed it up. But those boys died, but guess what? They were married before they passed away, and the daughter-in-law, Ruth, saw in Naomi something she wanted. She saw that faith, and so she stuck around. And so even if you're feeling like Eunice today or you're feeling like Naomi, it is not a performance review. Mother's Day is not a performance review. Our worth and identity does not come from being a mom. It comes from being a daughter of God. So you can lay that weight down. That Mother's Day is a celebration of the gift of life that God has given to you to steward and release back to Jesus, that we cannot control the outcome of their salvation or their sanctification, but we do have this incredible opportunity to live out our faith in front of our kids and with our kids for his glory. Thank you.
You know, if you're following Jesus, even if you're not a mom, what often happens is you come into this place where you just do this comparison thing or feel guilty about, man, I'm not living up to who I ought to be. I'm not doing enough, particularly if you are a mom and you carry this guilt. But the truth of the scriptures is it's been paid for you. You are not, your worth is not based on how amazing you are or how well you've done or how great your kids are or not, but your worth, your value is found in Christ alone. And it is worth it to follow him. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it's worth it, particularly if you're a mom, you're raising your kids day in and day out, and it just feels like, man, is this worth it? What's this resulting in? And you have a father who loves you. He's sovereign over the whole process, and he's with you in it all. That's the good news of the gospel. We are sons and daughters of the one true king by the work of his son, Jesus Christ. This morning, as we prepare for communion and come and take communion together, I wanted us to do this little exercise. And you've got thank you cards in your pews. If at all possible, now some of us have situations where moms were just completely, or grandmas, or all down the line, were just not present or very, maybe abusive or absent. But if at all possible, if you're able to, would you take some time reflecting on how good your God is through your mom or your grandma and write a thank you note to them and then go ahead and address it if they're out of town and send it today to thank you for how good God was through them to bring the faith to you. Maybe it was someone else in your life that modeled the faith for you and brought you up in it. But as you're thanking God for them, also let's thank our God for who he is and what he's done, making us sons and daughters by grace. And then when you're ready, come up and drop down that guilt, whatever it is, and be embraced by a God who loves you and has paid the penalty.